welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, it is now or never, and by all means, welcome back to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions regarding this tyranny and the problems that we're really facing. If you really care about the reset, if you really care about your future, your liberties, this is the only show to listen to. And as a matter of fact, I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to actually give you the information. I'm here to actually go through the Constitution with you, line by line, whether it be with the framers through the ratification debates, or whether it's the actual Constitution. And in celebration of Constitution Day, this last Saturday, we're going through the Constitution, and right now we just hit Article 1, Section 8. Wow, this is a big day. This is the day we actually cover the powers delegated, and I don't think we'll get through all of these. It takes some time. There's, 18 powers? Anyway, we'll get into that. Today happens to be the official day. The summer is over and fall has begun. Now, the fall of America has begun a long time ago, but it is not yet determined. Does America fall into the arms of communism, or does America fall back into the arms of a constitutional republic? We are in the midst of a civil war, whether you know this or not. The ideological political war that has been playing out in front of our very faces, and in front of our fathers' faces, and in front of our grandfathers' faces, or our grandparents and our parents. If you know, forgive me for thinking patriarchal. Anywho, we're looking at the fall of America, regardless of how you want to frame it, regardless of how you want to put it. If you want to take offense on the little things, then so be it. I mean, I do get that a lot. And I'm not here to actually offend you. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to tell you the facts. And the facts are, we are in the throes of a revolution. That revolution began in the late 1800s. The revolution was really initiated for the world in 1776. While the Declaration of Independence was galvanized on parchment, the charter for the Illuminati and the overthrow of all world governments and religions was cast into writing as well. It was set in stone, and it started moving forward. Set in stone, figuratively, folks. Okay, so what we're doing today is we're identifying those very few powers that the federal government possesses. And when we get to the bottom of it, I'm going to ask you, where is the power for some of these things that they're doing? So keep in mind, you know, if you have a question regarding something very specific, then ask yourself, well, you know, let me see if I hear that one specific thing, such as labor, such as energy, such as healthcare. You listen for what you want to hear, and you should not be surprised that you won't hear it, because our federal government was never designed to be the end all of all domestic things, or even to handle any domestic things whatsoever. And so we kind of left off with the Commerce Clause, but we're going to start all over again. As you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And as you know, I've kind of asked this, and I haven't said it in a couple of days maybe, but what kind of president do you really deserve? Do you deserve some narcissist that's actually going to try to make things good for him? It's all about power and being at the seat of power, or are you looking for somebody to serve you and your liberty and rights? Are you looking for a president? Because I'm telling you, Madison is 180 out from President Trump. 180 out. James Madison as president was a true public servant. It wasn't about him being the chief and, you know, telling you he's, you know, we're winning and we're doing all. No. He was about serving you and making sure that America went. He was the one that ended the Revolutionary War. He was the one that set this nation back on paying its debt. It was under his watch that the efforts in paying the public debt was to be done, and it was occurred, and it was realized under Andrew Jackson, who took the credit for it, because that's the kind of person he was. And Monroe, James Monroe, even talked during his inaugurations and so forth, in his addresses to Congress and the world and the United States, how we were paying that debt off. That all initiated under James Madison. James Madison was very cognizant of what the federal government needed to do and the direction it needed to go. Now, he did renew the bank because of the fact that it was already a violation, and because of the debts and everything else, it had to be maintained just to close it out, or it would have caused another problem. So, and it was a good thing that Jackson basically kind of closed closed that door on America regarding the federal bank. But folks, let's get into the Constitution, because that's where we really need to be focusing, and let's get into these powers, because really, if it's not enumerated, I can't say this enough, if the power is not enumerated, we heard this in almost every state that debated the Constitution. If it is not enumerated, they have no authority to exercise it. They have no jurisdiction to have it addressed in their courts. These things that aren't enumerated, they don't have jurisdiction nor authority, and therefore they are left to the state and state courts. State courts and state supreme courts are autonomous. There is no appeal if it is not within, there's no appeal to the federal government if it's not within the federal government's purview, if it's not within its jurisdiction. But that boundary of going and an appealing from a state court up to the federal court has been completely obliterated, because the progressives and the lawyers want you to believe that you have this ability to do those things. You don't. And unfortunately, as I've told you before, it has been the states. It has always been the states that have been most oppressive. Anyway, we talked about the preamble. We emphasized that yesterday, and we really went through that. And then we kind of pointed out that the very first power, that the power to borrow money on the credit of the United States, was covered right there in the preamble. The power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states, not within the several states. Does it say anywhere that they have the power to regulate commerce within the several states? No. They have the power to regulate, and not regulate and determine what they can do and what they can't do with each other. They can only make sure that one state doesn't dictate to another state how it's to produce a product. And I'll give you a case in point. California and emissions controls. California had no authority whatsoever to tell Michigan and the car manufacturers how they had to make cars to sell in their state. The federal government had no authority to establish an EPA. They had no authority to operate and to allow us. The reason why we have electrical vehicles being rammed down our throat is all because of violations of the Constitution. They've just been building upon this and building upon it. This house of cards is the size of the World Trade Centers, and it's time to topple their facade of a government down. And the only way to do that is through Republic Review. Sadly, there's so many that they call the champions of liberty out there. I mean, the sentinel of liberty, right? The guardians of liberty. And they have turned their backs on these principles and this doctrine that goes all the way back to James Madison and Thomas Jefferson. Anyway, want to be clear here. So I'm going to go through this, because most people think that this one clause needs clarification, that they can regulate, you know, the corporations within your state. Does it say anywhere in here that they have the power to establish and regulate a corporation? No. Sorry, folks, they don't. Where in these powers granted is the authority to regulate a corporation or to establish a corporation? It does not exist. Okay? And they can regulate trade or commerce with the Indian tribes. So because at that point in time, they hadn't infused and integrated Indians into the American dream. That was the intent of the framers. But because they weren't at that point in time, they said, okay, those are specific entities that, you know, we're dealing with that are within our states. And so what we're doing is we are, you know, going to make sure that the federal government can regulate tribes so that one state can't take an advantage or multiple states can't take an advantage over other states that may have access or may not have access and so forth. So in other words, they're basically just the traffic cops to make sure that the states don't take advantage. The important regulating of commerce with foreign nations, that was the biggest part of this power, is to ensure that they are guardians over our interests, not over the globalist interests. Excuse me. So as I tell you this, they have an oath to secure and guard for our own national security what is best in our interest. And when they allow, you know, and they beg other nations to produce oil when we should be producing it, they are violating the essence of the Constitution and their oath of office. It's that simple, folks. That's right. Biden has been so treasonous in what he's been doing that he's basically flaunting treason in front of the world because they're that enabled. In other words, well, we'll get into this when we get back because it's that important. We'll be right back after these two promos. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so back to this thing called the Commerce Clause and the Constitution. One of the things that I have to emphasize is when all of a sudden, because we were talking about this going into break, and I just hate trying to squeeze things in because next thing you know, I'm talking over myself in the hard promos. So what ends up happening is that when you start seeing somebody so flagrant in flaunting that they're above the law, then flaunting that they can do whatever they want to do, that they can actually cause you harm, and showing off, you know, their power, their unbridled and unrestrained power that is an absolute violation of the law, when they're doing that, that is basically telling you that they believe that they have that level of control. This is why when Biden made that address from Independence Hall and he told the world that they had the power to actually deal with the threats of you and I, those of us who speak ill about our Constitution and our constitutional government, our unconstitutional government, and those tyrants that are operating within our government, that are violating the law of the land. When they're doing that, that means that they truly believe they're untouchable. I'm telling you what, nobody would do that unless they felt that they were untouchable. It's one thing to do it in your ear secretly or in a back room to tell you, you can't do anything about this. But when they're right there in the public's eye and saying, well, this is what we're going to do, knowing that you can't do anything about it, at least they have a firm conviction that you can't do anything about it. Folks, you can. I'm here telling you, you can. If you want hope, this is the show to listen to that gives you that hope. So the next line, the next power is to establish an uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcy throughout the United States. So here they have the requirement, because at this point in time, the federal government did not have the power over the immigration of persons. That power didn't fall under their purview, under their responsibility until 1808. Every state could then, at that point in time, until 1808, import whomever they wanted to. The southern states were importing slaves, and that was the whole gist of this and why they had that control. After 1808, the federal government shut down the slave trade and was able to assume the full control over the importation of all persons. Thomas Jefferson points this out in the 1798 resolution to say, hey, it hasn't, you know, 1808 hasn't happened. You don't have the authority to dictate who comes into our states and who doesn't. That was so powerful in pointing that out that it helps it underlie this control over importations, because many people think, and the progressives have been telling you, that states have this power, and they don't. That ended because of the 1808 clause in Article 1, Section 9. So anyway, the power to establish uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcy is being obliterated as well. As you heard my conversation with Michelle Bachman, that they have been violating bankruptcy laws, and the fact that these student loans are not susceptible or can't go into bankruptcy court is unacceptable. How is that a uniform law on the subject of bankruptcies? Either you can claim bankruptcy, and it has to be for all types of debt, or you can't. And we are to be allowed bankruptcies. In other words, we can't be enslaved because of whatever the condition, but it has to go into a court and those conditions have to be heard. And you can't just create a blanket, you know, protection of those loans to say these loans can't become bankrupt. Folks, I'm telling you, if we would force these kids, every kid that is basically getting this forgiveness of $10,000, their credit should be ruined. It should be the same as bankruptcy. Allowing them to declare bankruptcy is the only way to go. And I'm going to tell you what, they won't be able to buy houses. They won't be able to do all of the things that you and I can do financially in an open market, because they are a risk and they need to be treated as such. And the fact is that they're being protected by this evil arm of the federal government, because the federal government uses them as pawns, because they know who's taking out these student loans. I'm telling you, it's not 50-year-olds. It's these radical kids that they know they've indoctrinated, and that they're so well indoctrinated that they're eating out of the palm of the statist hand. To coin money, this is the fourth power, to coin money, regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin. So in other words, regulate the value of our coin and of foreign coin to determine, you know, the trade and the differences to establish, you know, a currency exchange. And fix the standard of weights and measures. And in America, the standards of weights and measures still is pounds, right? And feet, not meters, not the metric system. To provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. Nowhere in here were they allowed to print money. Down the road, they started printing money, and this goes down this premise, because what we want to do, because I actually highlight this as another violation of, you know, of the Constitution, but what we want to point out is, if you have a contract in your labor law that you're, and see, I tell people, go look at your labor law contract with your employer. There is a good likelihood that they do not tell you that they're to pay you. They tell you that they're going to pay you a salary in U.S. dollars, but that doesn't mean that they have to pay you in dollars and cents. In other words, as long as what they give you is equivalent to the U.S. dollar, then they've met their obligation. There's nowhere where they say, we're actually going to put these dollars and cents in your hand on every given payday. They tell you that it'll be deposited into your account. So in other words, you're not being paid in coin. You're being paid in electronic currency. Now, you should be able to go down to your bank and be able to pull those things out, but it's not like they actually go and put coins and bills into your account. It's just about transferring, you know, digits from one point to another. And so what ends up happening is your employer, if your employer chooses to do so, they could say, you know what, we're going to create our own bank, and instead of actually depositing that money into your bank, you're going to have what we're going to put in is a gold and silver payment. In other words, we're going to give you a credit for a certain value of U.S. dollars, and based on the value of the commodity at that point in time of gold and silver, if you choose to take that money out that we've put into your account, into your own bank, you can transfer it, no problem. You can zero it out down to nothing. No problem, no expense to you. But if you leave it in there and you see gold going up, this is how, and actually they'd be doing you a great service if they did this, because when gold went up, you could actually then cash out when you think you've reached the top. So you'd want to, it would entice you to keep more of your money in their bank. Then all of a sudden, when you know the value starts to go down, then you'd cash that out and say, okay, let me cash that out, and we'll start building up again. This is how you actually get paid a little bit more for, you know, what you're keeping in there to get it transferred instead of what your salary, because this is how people would game their salary to get a little extra money from their employer. But it'd be great if an employer would do this and help teach you how to do, you know, the trades and pull out, you know, when the gold is going down and how to keep it in when gold and silver is going up. It's very volatile, but, you know, teaches you, you know, the value of the appreciation and the depreciation or the changes in a commodity, how it ebbs and flows and so forth. Bottom line, you say, you know what, that's okay. I'm going to do that. Now, a couple of years later, your employer decides to say, you know what, we've done this and this has really worked, but now we're going to transition to a different commodity and we're no longer going to be using gold. And just remember, they did this because they could. And they're going to say, now we're no longer going to do this in paying you based on the value of the currency with this commodity at the day of, you know, your paycheck. we're going to go to a different commodity, this new commodity that's just hit the market, and that's pine cones. And so you can pick up your pine cones and you can, you know, we're just going to drop these things in, and then you have to go and sell them, because now all of a sudden you can't just transfer these over into your account. You can go pick them up and you can carry the bushels and bushels of pine cones, but you'd have to go and actually sell them on the market. People would be absolutely livid if that happened, folks. And the fact of the matter is, that's what they did with gold and silver and our currency. And nobody was the wiser, because they justified to you that they could initially create a bill that was considered a silver-backed bill. In other words, you could put these bills in your wallet and give you all this flexibility, and you could take that down and get that and turn in that silver bill for actual silver coins. That was a silver-backed and a gold-backed currency. Can't do that anymore. When they got away from the gold back and the silver backing of our currency, it was a huge violation. We'll be right back after this. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so the reason I suffered going through that long scenario of your employer, who legitimately, by law in your labor contract, had never committed to actually paying you in physical dollars and physical coin, only a value thereof that was electronically transferred from their account into your account upon the point in time when they compensate you for your labor or, you know, services rendered. And so what has happened is, you know, they can actually do that. However, in our Constitution, it says right here to coin money, regulate the value thereof. Where is it that they have the ability to print paper? They do not have the ability to print paper. In other words, everything they did was to be done in silver and gold. And as a matter of fact, when we get to Article 1, Section 10, I will even prove this, because no state shall pass any law that allows anything but gold and silver coin to be the legal tender of payment of debt in their state. In other words, the federal government was creating a gold and silver currency of coin, and that's what every state had to live by. they weren't going to allow any state to start creating its own currency. The sword is double-sided, though, because now, you know, the states need to, because they never did pass the law, the states need to pass these laws that do not allow anything but gold and silver coin currency to be considered anything but, and then they need to go back to the federal government and say, look, you don't have any authority to have moved off of this gold, and we're going to give you this much time to fix this problem. And so, therefore, they can actually put a shot across the bow and say, don't even think about going to cashless. Don't even think about going down these other paths. You have a constitutional duty in basically coining money of silver and gold, and only silver and gold coin, period. That's it, folks. Isn't it interesting how every single one of our solutions when we're dealing with these problems, like why is it that you're not hearing this regarding this global reset? The Constitution protects us from all of this stuff. But these folks, I think these people really think that genuinely that they're helping you out. But their ignorance and illiteracy on the Constitution, all they're doing is helping prepare you for this shock, you know, for yourself to be, you know, in full denial of all of these things happening. You don't get in denial when you know what's happening and what should be done and what has to be done. So that's the importance of learning. That is the importance of hearing what has to be done. So if you think that there's an important radio show out there because it's really entertaining, and they talk, you know, about all the grievances and they don't talk, that's not important. That's just entertaining. And America is consumed with entertainment. My wife and I, we spend our time in being entertained when we just sit down together and we watch either TV shows, movies, or what have you. But that's, you know, our time. And we get to watch what we feel is representative of our mores and what we want, you know, that fits, you know, our standards. You know, when we sit down and watch something, we don't want to sit down and necessarily watch something that is repugnant to our morals. Well, why would you listen to somebody that's telling you something when actually, if you have any morals that you really want to understand what to do and how to do it, why would you waste time with entertainment that does nothing for you? Especially when you think it's actually informing you. It's not. That's why I have to point my fingers at all these entertainers. This is the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. This is why this is the only show that's going through the depths of the Constitution today for you. Nobody else is doing this. You don't even get this stuff from Prager, Hillsdale College, any of these other universities are supposedly constitutional. It's the same thing with Institute on the Constitution, all of these groups that try to teach you on the Constitution. I mean, Doug Gibbs gives you a good, solid education. But some of these, and he actually even supports Republic Review. If you want to go through it, and it takes him 14 or 20 lessons. And we're not talking about an hour to do a radio show. That's why it takes me about a month to go through this. And he goes through it line by line as well. And some of the things that I am actually covering, he incorporates because, you know, one of the things we talked about just recently was where in the Constitution do they have the ability to create corporations and even tax corporations directly? And then he realized that it was through the 16th Amendment of taxing people. That's why it was so critical to make corporations perceived as people so that they could tax them. Ah, and see, there was this double-bladed sword. Now that they become people, then now that they can start. This became a very maniacal, and they knew what they were doing. And this is how they corrupted corporation and our government went to bed with corporations and the globalist corporations of the world. These world forums, these economic forums, this is all unconstitutional. Our involvement in these things, unconstitutional. They should be shut down, or at least our involvement in it should cease and desist. We should have no reason for ever being there. The only reason those people are there is because these are the wannabe elitists. Please let me at the trough of the golden slop. Anyway, going on to the next one, the providing for the punishment, this is the fifth power, providing for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. Well, you know what? The federal government should be arrested for violating the Constitution, for basically counterfeiting a currency that is unauthorized by the Constitution. In other words, everything that they're doing with these non-backed dollars is counterfeiting. They don't have the authority to do those things. To establish post offices and post roads. Does that mean that they're supposed to build them and maintain them? No. They establish them and they pay for the post offices and they operate the post offices, but a post road they don't. The only post roads that they maintain are the roads that go into your capital, to the United States Capitol, to Washington, D.C. Those are the only roads that they are actually responsible of maintaining and creating. So it only makes sense that when you look at the interstate system, why the interstates are required to go through the capitals of every state, and why every state, even these obscure cities, like, you know, what's the capital of Nebraska? Lincoln, right? And I think it's Jefferson of Missouri. You know, these aren't big cities. Well, they're cities because they're capitals, but they would even be doing less if they didn't put an interstate through them. Remember, in the Old West, what made a town successful in the Old West was the fact that it had a train going through it. You put the train tracks down, and then all of a sudden, now you can get people out to your train tracks, commerce, and everything else. If you had to do everything by wagon and buggy from a train station down to your little city and town, your town is not, it won't flourish to the same degree. This is why there was this, you know, hey, let's expand the railroad system to go everywhere. Well, it's, you know, that's not reasonable. It's one thing to create, you know, hub spoke type of infrastructure, but the best way of getting around and the best way of moving people, commerce, and so forth from any point to another point is with a small personal vehicle, POV, personally operated vehicle, or some small commercial vehicles, you know, like semi-trucks and so forth. I mean, trains, they can be huge, and they can move a lot of commerce, and they can service a lot of different, you know, stops along the way. You can't do that with a truck. But, I mean, if you start looking at infrastructure and how you can create this relationship in these transshipment points and so forth, where you have trucking rail, trucking, and air. That's why these transshipment points, or even with a port facility, you'd have all four. If you put, you know, air, shipping, train, rail, and traffic, or I should say trucking, then you now have this multifaceted transshipment point where you can bring in and move commerce in a multitude of ways, which is why you see these, you know, big cities that are on the ports. That's why they, you know, they really flex their muscle with all this commerce and the movement of commerce. Because, folks, if you're moving commerce, you're making money. Why do you think China monopolized on the movement of commerce years ago? Because they realized by moving, you know, aggressively and hostily through, you know, this Mako and all of these other shipping companies, if they could control the flow of commerce, they can control the world, or at least there's a level of control of the world that they have. Now, in America, because we could be so independent, you know, it doesn't matter, international shipping. I mean, it's nice to be able to sell our goods and those types of things. But when we have to fight, a world war where the whole world is out to destroy America and liberty, we do have the ability to feed ourselves and produce and be autonomous from the world, unlike any other nation in the world. we have been blessed with all of the blessings of the greatest land of the whole world. Anyway, we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
I cannot say enough. I can't emphasize enough the resources and the capacity of the United States. When you look at the gold, silver, and energy resources that we have, I mean, most people don't even realize how much gold we have because Clinton did a really good job of obscuring all of these gold mines that he shut down in Utah, Idaho, and all over the place. And the bottom line is because they want to make sure that America did not grow its gold, its holding of gold, because then America would, you know, it's harder to topple America when we have this growing capacity of backing. When all of a sudden we went to a non-backed dollar and then started demanding, you know, or actually establishing debt as a means to pay for what we were doing, it was also a means of overthrowing America or undermining America to our own demise. What Nixon did was he put into motion the ability for America to be seized and controlled by the globalists. That was just one of the many ways that we've been sold downriver. A key way, by the way. But the fact is, we have rare earth minerals. We have everything we need right here. As a matter of fact, in the Western states, folks, if you didn't know, we have every, I don't think there's any mineral that doesn't exist in the world that we need to exist. We have the ability, but why is it that we buy this crap from China? Why is it we buy this crap from these communist nations that are doing this, and we're shutting down the ability of any free Western state to being able to do this? Why are we capitulating and why are we placating the growth of communism? Because our ruling class had basically fallen into and colluded with as they became a part of the swamp. They actually became corrupted. They created this bastion of communism within our bureaucracy, within our government. The only way forward is to demand and hold everybody accountable to the Constitution. If you take an oath to the Constitution, we will enforce it. And if you violate your oath, you're gone. This is the mechanism, folks, we have within the law of the land. The supreme law of the land allows us to do this. Now, we just went through Power 6, which is the power to establish post offices and post roads. But this next one is interesting. To promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. Now, let me ask you this. Is there anything there that covers this concept of, you know, doing research and all of that and paying for research and ending venereal disease like AIDS? Is the promoting the progress of science? To be clear, what is it that we're supposed to do that promotes it? By securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. We don't give them we're not supposed to be funding all of this research that we've been doing. Now, it's nice that we've been able to fix ancillary things. But what government has really been trying to do is been trying to remove the consequences of sin. They really don't care. They don't care about, you know, your health. They don't care about you. They only care about debasing and seizing control. And the best way to do that is to remove the consequences of sin so that while you're out or while America is out enjoying its jollies and ingratiating itself in its indulgences and debasing itself in debauchery. Now that's how they overthrow us, because now all of a sudden, as long as you get to, satisfy yourself, as long as you can be indulgent in the things that you want to be indulgent in, who cares what government does? Until all of a sudden they seize control. And folks, I'm telling you, things ebb and flow. And eventually they're going to say, all of these people that are worthless, they're worthless. We don't need them anymore. Because when government has that kind of power, that's what government does. And government, in the history of governments, that's exactly what they do. If you're a threat to them, they get rid of you. I mean, they don't care about putting you down. When you have a government that's that tyrannical, look at China. They have the largest political prisoner system in the world, and they use it as for commerce in selling their organs to anybody that wants to travel there for an organ transplant. They'll kill a person just for your eyes, just for you to have new eyes. Imagine that, folks. I've spoken of this before. Imagine the moral turpitude of a person getting on a plane to say, my life is so much more important than somebody else's that somebody's going to sacrifice their life so that I can have their eyes. Wow. If you want to understand the level of evil, that's where we've gone. That's where we as a society, as a world, we're in the depths of evil that even our framers couldn't even fathom. I mean, live organ harvesting, who would have ever thought of that? Seriously, these things have never been done in the annals of the history of all of mankind. But to be clear, there is nowhere in here where they have the responsibility to promote education or to be involved in education. The only thing they're to do in promoting, progress of science and useful arts is by securing for limited times authors and inventors these respective rights, copyrights and patents. That's it. This is why I'm telling you, we have to revisit copyrights and patent laws. We can't allow copyrights and patent laws to actually persist for 40, 50 years or even 20 years. We need to actually start moving these things down to more reasonable times to allow competition to move through the marketplace. Oh, well, it allows big companies to become bigger. Are you kidding me? That's the last thing we want to do. Unless that company is truly a righteous company and is actually doing everything it can to, like Alcoa, making sure that you're paying the bottom price possible for the aluminum products they were producing. The next one, Power 8. The power to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. In other words, they were going to have the power to create, you know, what would they call appeals courts or federal courts that are out in districts to allow for courts to actually basically pursue justice that for those things that are within the jurisdiction of the United States, like, let's say, you know, some international trade or what have you, something that's actually under the Constitution, to be able to move that from a state court to that district court. That so this way, this inferior court helps reduce the burden and the load on the Supreme Court. In addition, it is to ensure that those people that are suffering these cases don't necessarily have to travel to D.C. to have their case heard in a federal court. That was one of the many complaints. Oh, well, you got to travel all the way to D.C. This is why they set up these tribunals or these inferior federal courts. number nine, and this is a big one, to define I don't have to constitute tribunals and inferior courts as a flaming red violation, but it is a violation because they've never capped and controlled the jurisdiction of what could go in these courts. We need to have a hardcore petition on this. You know, and I'm just trying to help you understand this. We need to actually make sure that everybody understands that when we go down this path of, you know, going from one court to the other, there has to be tight constraints to ensure that a case that has no business going into a federal court does not make it through the door. This is why we need to create this, what I call this petition, to get government from being able to get its arms around things it has no business doing. This next one now, the power to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high sea and offenses against the law of nations. To be clear, they have this power to define the punishment of piracies and felonies committed on the high sea and offenses against the laws of nations. That's it. So, in other words, they have this power, but that's the only power they have. So we've highlighted this as violation, as a huge violation. Why? Because they don't have the power to define the punishments, or, you know, to define the actual law and punishments of anything else, such as drug use, such as kidnapping, such as, you know, hate laws or hate crimes. None of those things exist within the Constitution. They don't have jurisdiction over them, which means that they can't see the light of day, and they don't have the power to define and punish them either. Ah, there we go. So the next one, we're getting into war, the militia, and everything else, and that's going to be a good segment in our next episode, folks. Actually, it'll probably take up most of the episode talking about the militia and how we're supposed to prosecute war, enforce laws, all of those things. So we're going to get into the flexing of the muscle of the federal government in our next episode. I'm J.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process.
This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.